Hello and welcome to another edition of 90 Day Airway. I'm one half of your co-hosts. I'm John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And we had another incredible episode of 90 Day. Seems like things are really starting to get heated up. Had a little bit of everything once again in this episode. And seems like the whole thing, it was just one thing after another.
Yeah, it definitely, there's a lot of drama to discuss. We both commented when we were talking that it seemed like we weren't done typing until the last possible moment or writing down everything that was going on. It was just, seems like shit's getting real with everyone.
Yeah, most definitely. And we're getting to that part of the season where, you know, it's time to either get married or not. And it seems like the couples are really starting to feel the pressure of that.
Yeah, exactly. I will say the MVP of this episode was Juan from Boston.
He was hysterical.
Hands down the best part of this episode. So,
but yeah, we'll get right into it as there's a lot to discuss. So who do you want to start us off with, Lens?
Let's start with the top of the episode, which was Eve and Mohammed.
Ah, Eve and Mohammed doing some ninja work.
Yeah, that was so cute, though. Theron's a goat when it comes to parkour and stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see him kind of, you know, in his element, so to say, and just hanging out and swinging across and jumping up on some trampolines and everything. And it seemed like everything was going well at first.
Yeah, and, you know, Mohammed's into it. He's doing everything with Theron. Fun little family time. And then they get in the car to go home.
And when they get in the car, Eve mentions that she wants to push the wedding date back because the venue
by a month.
Yeah, by a month because the venue has a scheduling conflict. And Muhammad's instantly upset because he wants his green card so he can visit his family.
Yeah, he suggests that they just get married in the backyard. And Eve says, oh yeah, get married on a dirt patch in my white dress. And I understand both of their sides. You know, Eve wants a wedding that she's always going to remember, pictures, like, you know, a really perfect day for her. And Mohammed wants to get married so he can start, I guess, contributing to his family. I say that very loosely because I don't know his alternative motives at all.
Yeah, it seemed like he wanted to visit his family and then start working to like send money back to his family in Egypt, so it kind of seemed like he had his own agenda.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, he suggests to Eve that like maybe she doesn't want to get married, that's why she's postponing it. And she says like, yeah, like if you're gonna act that way, then maybe I do need to rethink this marriage thing. And then, you know, his famous words, well, then I'll just go back to Egypt. It's like, okay, so go.
Yeah, I'm going to pack my bags. It's yeah. Like, all right, dude, stop threatening it. Like, just do it then.
Yeah, so
every episode, all you do is just talk about it.
That's all, every episode, that's anytime all he says.
Anytime there's an argument or a disagreement, he's like, oh, I'll just pack my bags and go back. It's like, all right, so go.
So, and there, it should be noted that they are arguing in front of Theron.
Yes.
You know, Eve said that they've been trying to keep that away from him. But obviously, I feel like they're arguing all the time. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, do they really enjoy each other? Like, it
doesn't seem like it.
No, not at, like, they fight as much as Bilal and Chida, and that's saying a lot.
For sure. And then Eve even mentions, she said how she thinks at this point all Mohammed really cares about is his green card and his interests.
Well, we get into the next scene with them, and I think that becomes very apparent.
Yeah, so Mohammed goes on his bike ride and thinks it's fun to take a little bike ride to the coffee shop.
I can't. The fact that he's, like, wearing a helmet and, like, looks like such, like, a goober on the bike is hilarious.
Yeah, so he goes in, meets his friend from the mosque. And Muhammad says how he wants the marriage license earlier so that he can begin work.
Yeah, so he says, like, he's been at home with Theron, and he feels like, you know, Eva's selfish because she won't get the paperwork done, and pretty much has like free babysitting or free childcare for Mohammed to watch Theron. So that's why he thinks that Eve is dragging her feet. So he like never works and can just watch Theron.
Yeah, which is a little strange and probably not what her idea of him being here is.
Yeah, and like, bro, you still gotta get married in 90 days. Like, you're gonna get the green card regardless. Let's calm down. Like, I don't know, I get it. Like, you come to America, you probably think it's a little bit more than just watching your fiancé's child. But at the same time, like, you have 90 days. Like, I always think you should take the full 90, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Mohammed just wants that green card.
Yeah, and he, you know, as he's talking to his friend, you know, he mentions how he wants to take care of his family back in Egypt, and he gets choked up and says, you know, how he's really concerned about his mom back in Egypt.
Yeah, and his friend Rafi says, like, you know, he can tell that Mohammed lived a pretty sheltered life. Yeah. And he really cares about his mom, but obviously there's a bit more to life than just, like, your family.
Most definitely. And then it kind of closes out with Muhammad saying that he's got an idea of having another sponsor if things don't work out with Eve.
Yeah.
That's kind of a little bit of a bombshell.
It's a little sus. Like, I don't understand. Like, he says he loves being in America and, like, he wants to stay in America. So, I don't understand why he's crying and he's upset that he's not getting his green card sooner to go visit his family in Egypt, but he wants to stay in America. And he's always threatening to go back to Egypt.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It's just, I don't know, the red flag that Patrick is flying for Thais, and we'll get into that, is fully on display with Mohammed. It's just,
yeah,
it's very strange to say that, like, oh, I'll just get another sponsor. Like, how much money she's probably put into getting him over here, especially with, like, the Muslim ban that happened and everything like that. Like, I don't, and COVID, duh. I don't get it. I mean, to me, it just really seems like he just wants a green card.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I'm getting at this point. Initially, I didn't really get that vibe, but now after learning more about him and seeing kind of where their storyline has gone, that's kind of what it seems like.
Yeah, it's just, it's really weird to me, and I feel like she does love him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But to me now, it really just seems like he wants to be in America, and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, I mean, if you want to be in America, dude, like, why don't you be nice and not threaten to go back to Egypt all the time, and then get married to her, and right, then get your green card, and then say deuces, like we've seen on other couples.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a proper way to do it if you really want to do it.
Yeah, so, I don't know. They're just a strange couple.
Definitely.
That's really it for them.
So, green cards. Is there somebody you want to head over to next?
No, whoever you want.
Let's discuss Kata and Guillermo.
Oh, the OG.
So, they're heading out to the rodeo.
Yeah, so they're going to a rodeo, so to cheer Guillermo up. And he is so funny how he goes, "This isn't my first rodeo." I love that man so much.
Yeah, it was pretty funny to see that. I mean, I personally didn't really know that there were rodeos in Venezuela, so pretty cool to see that, you know, different side of it and how other cultures have similar things to what we have here.
Yeah, but this is an America rodeo.
That's very true. Very true. But no, but it was cool to see kind of him outside of, you know, his natural element, so to say.
Yeah, and he looks like he's having a good time. They listen, salute, I don't know, you stand up for the national anthem.
Yeah, stand up.
And he says, like, how powerful and strong it is, and like it really makes him feel like he belongs in the United States.
Yeah, and he was like on the verge of tears as well, which for him, hey, I get it. But when you're here and you see a lot of things going on, you might not feel the same way. But that's a different conversation for a different day.
He definitely was the only person of color there, by the way. Like, 100%. I tried to scour the crowd. Pretty sure he was the only, like, brown person.
Well, it's Charlottesville, Virginia. What did you...
Tiki torches. They are, like, walking around, and they're, like, Kara's like, hey, like, let's get some food, and... Guillermo comments like how the United States is super different than Latin America when it comes to food. You know, he's just seeing all these people eating like nachos,
burgers, and hot dogs.
Yeah, and like he just thinks like it's just so wild how different it is.
Yeah, definitely. And he was really happy that Kara brought him to the rodeo. And he even said how he knows he can't be stuck in the house, and she noticed that and didn't want him to just, you know, sit inside four walls and kind of like dwell on everything that's going on.
Yeah, and they do have 3 weeks to get married. So Kara kind of drops a bombshell, but like really wants to make Guillermo happy and says like she wants a compromise on a wedding, like where she wanted to get eloped and he wanted to have like a full-fledged wedding. Like, she is really willing to meet in the middle with him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's really starting to compromise on that, and Guillermo's super excited about it. But to that, what was interesting and kind of strange to me is that all of a sudden now we have 3 weeks to plan the wedding and we're just like forgetting about the money aspect of this.
Well, that's what she said. She said not think about the money and just live life. So did Guillermo get his laptop is what I need to know.
Well, they're going to the rodeo, so I hope
if
so.
I do not find out if he got his computer at Sean Robinson, if you did not ask this at the tell-all, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was, like, I know she's trying to cheer him up and, like, trying to do positive things for him because of, you know, what's transpired over the last couple weeks, but now all of a sudden you're, like, completely changing kind of your philosophy on what you've said throughout the entire time, and now you're just like, oh, like money's whatever. It's like, well, you still need the money to pay for things.
Yeah, like I don't know,
so maybe you can go a little more than you were initially thinking, but now to just like throw the budget out the window, I feel like is pretty foolish.
Like, I understand when someone passes away, like you always have to think like, you know, our days are kind of numbered, like, you know, you could die tomorrow, live life to the fullest kind of thing. And I totally get that. But at the same time, like, it shouldn't have taken her to, like, have his brother die to realize, like, a compromise.
Yeah, 100%. No, totally, totally agree with that.
But I am pumped to see Guillermo, like, in a little tux, in a little suit. Such a cutie. Want nothing but the best for him.
Yeah, I think it'll be very nice, and I do see them getting married.
Oh, they're definitely getting married.
Yeah.
They really love each other. I don't know why.
Yeah, it seems like kind of like a weird, in kind of like a weird way.
Yeah, but like they really love each other. Guillermo deserves better, but I'll leave it at that. I mean, Kara's not a bad person.
No.
I just think he's so precious. But... you know, we see on next time, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but they are arguing like 3 days before the wedding. So they're definitely getting married. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But
right.
I'm sure it's a lot of stress trying to plan a wedding in 3 weeks.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, I can only imagine how that must feel.
Yeah, but I'm excited for their wedding.
For
I think
sure.
It's going to be cute. I can't wait to see the balloon arch.
Don't have to pay, you know, somebody else to do it.
That's my whole thing. Like, she's in the party business. Does she not have, like...
connections?
Yeah.
Or, like, get some discounts and stuff?
That's my whole thought. But whatever. I guess we'll see how this wedding is.
But, yeah, that's kind of their spiel for now. All right. Who do you want to continue with?
Let's go to Palau.
Oh, Mr. Blau.
Oh, Mr. He's no longer Mr. Romantic. He's Mr. Depressed.
And fussy.
And fussy and acting like a little B-I-T-C-H.
So we start off with him kind of just laying on the bed and sets in Lana. He's kind of just in a sour mood.
Yeah, Shida says he's like moping around, doesn't really want to do anything. They have the kids for the week and like he just like hasn't wanted to do anything. And it's like he acts like a child.
Yeah, it's like he didn't get his way, so now he's just gonna pout and like lay in his bed.
Yeah, exactly. So Shida's like, all right, enough of this shit. Let's go out. It's a beautiful day. I want to teach you and the kids yoga, like show, you know, a passion and a love that she has to her new family.
Yeah, and she's trying to ease the tension a little bit. And she even mentions that she'll do whatever it takes to get things back on the right track.
Except for a sign of prenup.
Well, maybe. But no, it seems like for whatever reason, it seems like she really loves him and really wants to be with him.
But I don't understand why. I truly don't understand why.
I don't get it. Every, like, turn is just, like, something she did wrong or how she could have done it better. It's never like, oh, thanks for that or this was great.
Yeah, like, they truly just seem unhappy with each other.
Yeah, it's just, like, the same thing every, like, day after day.
So,
and he even said they're not ready to get married.
Yeah. So Shida, takes him out and she teaches him yoga and, you know, Bilal and his son are messing around and they're actually having like a good time. They're smiling and laughing. And Shida says like, she's happy to see that Bilal like smile again and just really wants to get over this. And that's when Bilal acknowledges in his interview that like, they argue a lot. Or does he say this to Shida? I think he says it to Shida that, like, they argue a lot and he doesn't think they're ready to get married.
Yeah, which...
Which, like, but aren't they, like, spiritually married? Or, like, they're married under God? Because that's what they did in Trinidad.
Yeah, that's what he was saying initially.
And then, like, he said marriage is a business transaction. So, like... He just doesn't make sense to me. Like, he's letting his emotions, like, get the best of him when he's the one that's, like, initiated all of the tension.
100%.
So, I don't know. And so, the next scene that we see with them is Shahida, who is Bilal's ex-wife, calls Shida. And I will say that Bilal said this in the first episode that their names are very similar. So apologies in advance if we like flip-flop at some point because it's very confusing. So Shahida asked Shida if she can come over and talk because they really haven't gotten to know each other since Shida got to the United States.
Yeah, so Shahida goes over to Bilal and Shida's house and Shahida says how she's really stern with her kids and, you know, she came in like pretty aggressively, I thought.
Like she was like hot. Like she had an attitude from the jump and Shida acknowledges this and she says like, you know, she's just wide-eyed like a Cheshire cat, like very tiptoeing, but she notices like there's a bit of an attitude coming across and, you know, Shahida's like, she wants the best for her kids and she wants, you know, people in their lives to be the best for them. And, you know, Bilal's not just her co-parent, but also a friend. Yeah. And like they need to be in each other's life, which it's like, I agree, but you shouldn't be coming at Shida about this. Like, if you and Bilal are such good friends, like you should have talked to Bilal and been like,
what's the
like we should meet before she meets the kids or this or that. Like, I don't know. To me, it's very like she had such an attitude for no reason.
100%. And then she was even kind of like harassment almost to the point of the prenup and like, oh, we want to make sure like you're here for the right reasons and like, you know, the generational wealth. And like it seemed like Shahida was more concerned with the prenup than Shida was.
Yeah, and she was trying to pivot it. Like, she's concerned about her kids and them getting their fair share of Bilal's money and stuff. And it's like, I don't think Shida, like,
that's... She doesn't care.
She doesn't care, and I don't think that's her MO to, like, undermine his children and take all of his money and go back to Trinidad. And, like, Shida acknowledged... My favorite quote is, she says, like, I had a whole life in Trinidad. Like, I had my own yoga studio. I had my friends and my family. And she's like, you can Google me. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I was really involved in my community in Trinidad. Like, I don't need to be here. Like, yeah. I don't need his money.
Exactly. And I just don't get why Shahida needs to butt in when it comes to the prenup. Like, her kids also have another parent who is involved in this, which is Bilal.
Yeah.
And maybe Bilal should talk to Shida and be like, hey, like, I just want to protect the kids or this and that. So it's very just strange to me. And I think everyone's issues should just go to Bilal and no one should be involved.
Yeah, it seems like something, like, iffy kind of happened with the divorce between Bilal and Shahida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's kind of, like, in this situation. Like, maybe he, like, cut her out of everything.
Well, I think...
So now she wants Shida to be cut out of everything?
Well, it sounded like when they were talking about the prenup when they were in Georgia... It sounded like Bilal had Shahida sign a prenup when they were in the middle of their marriage.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if, like, he undermined her at all.
That's what it seems like.
But it also seems like Bilal is talking shit about Shida to Shahida and telling her, like, oh, she doesn't want to sign the prenup. She wants to take the money away from the kids, like, this and that. Which, you know, Shida says, like, this is a conversation between her and Bilal.
Which it 100% is.
And so I don't get him at all. I don't know if he's a narcissist. I don't know if he has split personality disorder. Like, I truly don't know. He's just, like, he seems like there's an issue with absolutely everything.
Yeah, it's chaotic. It's crazy. But... for whatever reason, I feel like they're going to figure it out.
No, they are. They're definitely getting married.
For, like, whatever reason. I don't know why, but I feel like they're going to eventually figure it out.
They are, and it's going to be so unfortunate because she's going to be stuck in this, like, shitty-ass marriage with him and not get any money when they get divorced. I have that feeling, too. Like, I think they're going to figure it out and be all lovey-dovey and get married and... it's just going to be terrible. And then we're stuck with them for all the HEA stuff. And I'm just happily ever after.
Yeah.
So I'm not about it.
Yeah. But we'll see what continues with the two of them. So now we have the big three of this episode. Is there...
the big three.
Is there one you want to start out with?
I think we should leave... Patty
for last. All right, so let's head over to Jabri.
Oh god.
And Miona.
See, okay. I want to like their storyline because I think it's intriguing. I think he is intriguing. I can't do it though. It's so fake to me.
Yeah. Even, like, his mannerisms.
Everything is fake to me. I think the only real conversation we've seen is him with Grandma.
Yeah.
That's it. Because then when they, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, like, in our recap, but, like, when him and Miona go out to that brewery where they get, like, dessert.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like, oh, I forgive you. And then he's getting pissed at her again. So it's like... did you forget which side you, like, laid on? Like,
yeah.
I just, everything with them is so fake. They are obviously doing this just for clout. And I'm over it. Just go have your fucking beach wedding and get off the season at this point. Because I'm just, yeah.
Feisty.
Oh, I am. Because I'm over it.
So we start out and we find out that Jabri is currently not talking to Miona. And he's hanging out with grandma, going on a hike.
Yeah, and Granny is a BAMF.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She gives awesome advice, everything, but Jabri, he's complaining that Miona's concerned with herself and her brand and not really with him, and he tells his grandma he doesn't know if he sees them getting married now.
Yeah, so essentially he says, like, all Miona has done since she came to the United States is complain. Complain about living in South Dakota. Complain about him doing his music. Complained about them living with his parents. Like,
he's not wrong.
No, not at all. And he said, you know, he really just wants to go back how it was. Like, there are so many things that he loved about her. He loved how driven she was about her brand. He loved how much she grew her own company and, you know, really focused on herself. And he hasn't seen that Miona since she came to the United States, and that's what's making him question everything. And Granny, you know, asked Jabri, like, hey, like, are you getting married? And he's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he loves Miona, but like you were saying, like, he doesn't know what's happened over the last few months, like, since she came here, and he thinks she can be amazing, but she's just sitting there, like, not doing anything all the time.
Yeah, and, you know, Grandma says, like, she doesn't see that shining bright in him anymore, like, mm-hmm. there's really no joy, and it's really nice to get him away from her for a little bit because, you know, they're always together.
Right.
And, you know, Jabri even acknowledges, like, he wants to marry the music. He wants to be passionate with his music and his art, but he hasn't been able to focus on it since Miona's gotten here.
Yeah, and he even was saying, like, that's when he's the happiest, is at those times when he's able to be artistic and able to be in the studio, you know, for hours at a time, and that's really what he wants to do. And I think, like, for their relationship to work, too, like, you do need some alone time to, like, do the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
And it seems like she's just always, like, on top of him about everything.
And that's, like, I mean, I get it's hard to immigrate to a place where you know no one and you don't feel like you're welcome, especially by his parents or anything like that. But at the same time, like, he obviously is very involved in his art and his craft and, you know, wants to make the best of himself, and she's kind of dragging him down.
Yeah.
So I truly don't know what he sees in her, but that, because I haven't seen this passion or this drive or anything from her.
Right. And, you know, we kind of end that scene, and seems like Grandma asks Jabri if she is allowed to officiate the wedding, and Jabri was, like, pretty excited about that, thought that, you know, that'd be pretty dope.
If they have a wedding.
Yeah, if they do have a wedding.
Which they are going to, but...
Which would be pretty cool, though.
Like, yeah, exactly.
If she was able to, you know, officiate that and be able to, like, see her grandson get married and all that.
Yeah, so with the next scene... Jabri, like I said, brings Miona in their matching outfits.
Yeah, can we stop? Like, honestly, enough.
Like, they are wear your own stuff. Matching ugly ass sweaters.
It's sickening at this point.
And my whole thing is, you're not talking, supposedly.
You can have the same sweaters, but wear them at different times.
My whole thing is, they're not talking, but they still decide to match. Like, I don't get it at all.
Like, what is the fascination with, like, matching everything?
Do you think in their closet they have it marked down, like, we're wearing this Monday, we're wearing this Tuesday, we're wearing this
No, I think it's like they, like, take a shower and then they're, like, about to leave the house, and I think Jabri's like, oh, we gotta wear these sweaters.
You or think?
Or it's like, oh, we have to wear this. I think it's, like, that day they, like, plan out, like, what they're wearing so that they look alike. It's weird, though. Wear your own stuff.
Yeah, I could never. I think it's weird. They're weird.
If you're going to, like, a sports game and you're both wearing the same jersey, like, okay. But, like, it's every time you're going out to dinner, every time you're going out for a walk, you're wearing the same jacket, you're both wearing jeans, you're wearing the same colored t-shirt, like... switch it up a little bit.
My whole thing is, like, don't you want... I mean, he's talking about wanting his independence. Like, do you not want your independence when it comes to clues? Like, especially her. Like, he said, like, she was building her brand and stuff. So, like, build your individual brand.
Yeah, you're just looking like one another.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, and she's really trying with her blackfishing. But, so they go to this brewery where they get, like, milkshakes and dessert, which is just strange to me. And, you know, they start talking about the fighting and stuff. And pretty much Mionis is like, she thinks that they would have been better if they lived alone from the beginning. You know, she thinks that there's too many people involved in their relationship, and she just thinks it would have been better if they were by themselves.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can see that, but also, like, they don't have the funds at the moment to be able to do that.
That was, like, the whole thing before she even moved here. Like, she wanted to live in California, and he was like, we don't have the money. Like, we need to save money.
Yeah, so she knew coming here that, at least at first, they were going to be living with his parents.
Yeah. And, you know, Jabri says, like, I understand that, but also, like, we're up each other's asses all the time. Like,
yeah,
he says, like, he wants space, and I put respectable space. And, you know, he's asking her to keep him focused on the music because that's what he wants to do, and he wants them to be on the same page when it comes to it.
Right, and if they're not, then they're not going to be able to get married.
Yeah, and that's his whole thing. He wants to get back into the music. He wants her to understand if he's in the studio for 12 hours, like, he's not going to be talking to her. She needs to learn to do her own thing or go out with other people or anything like that. Like, he just, I guess he feels suffocated by her.
Yeah, a little bit.
But also, like, they're matching outfits, so...
But even Miona kind of agreed with him and said that she does need to learn to be, you know, more independent, and that she'll definitely, you know, hear what he's saying, and she's willing to give this a shot so that they can get married. And Jabri even says, you know, he wants to take the risk of marriage with Miona.
So this is where I just get, like, so confused. So he, like, turns a corner, right, and is like, I still want to get married. Like, let's put all this aside. And then she brings up, like, oh, like, I guess I can compromise on this whole beach wedding thing. But I still, like, I want to get married in California now.
Yeah, she's like, we could elope and get married in California.
Yeah, and then Jabri, again, like, is mad at her. So it's like, I don't understand. Like, I truly don't understand. He does make a good point, though, when she's like, it's my wedding. And he's like, enough with the my.
Yeah, he's like, enough with my wedding and my this. He's like, our.
Yeah, so that I understand. But I don't know, after watching that final scene of them, I'm like, this is just so fake. Like, it's just so, it's drama that isn't real at this point.
Yeah, and then he kind of ends it with saying that he wants a queen, not a princess, because he's trying to build an empire.
And if that doesn't tell you that this is fucking fake and they want clout and all they want to be is, like, influencers, then you need to get your eyes and ears checked, because I just can't believe that 90 Day Fiancé put them on this season. Because everything they do is fake. And they've been fucking, like, just blowing their NDA. Like, they don't give a shit on social media. So, I don't know. I get it. It's 90 Day Fiancé. There's really no, like, integrity of the show or anything. But at this point, like, to me, their scenes are so fluff. Because there's nothing to it. Because I know it's fake.
Yeah. We already know the outcome.
Exactly. So it's just, I don't know. I'm pretty sick of them. I hope they just have their stupid beach wedding and get off the season.
All right, fair enough.
I do like Jabri, though. Like I was saying last week or the week before, like, yeah. I think Jabri himself is a good personality to have. He seems like a genuine person who cares about his family and cares about what he does with his life and everything. I can't stand her. I can't stand the bad acting. the unnecessary drama. Like, it's just, I'm done. He should just be on the single life and call it a day.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, so let's head over to Ari and Benny.
John's favorite couple.
Yeah, I love Benny.
Not Ari.
Yeah, I just love Benny. But so Leandro comes by to visit so that he can tag along with Ari as they go wedding dress shopping.
Yes, because you always invite your ex-husband to go wedding dress shopping.
He's just a weirdo.
I don't understand it. I don't get why he doesn't get it.
Stay in Indiana, do your PhD thing, and, like, leave him alone.
Well, I think he has his PhD now. But yeah,
so leave him alone.
I don't understand why he thinks it's appropriate to go wedding dress shopping with his ex-wife.
Yeah, it's like, just, like...
mind you, like, Ari should fucking wake up and realize it's not appropriate to do it in general. But, like, he should, like, have a little bit of, like, man code with Benny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just strange to me.
It's different if, like, they're having a party and he, like, is invited and goes. But, like, the fact that you're just, like, in all of their business.
Yeah, like, when they went to lunch together.
Yeah, like
the, I think that's fine. When they had, like, Ethiopian New Year's. Like, okay, not really appropriate, but, like, I can understand. He's in town. Like, he's friends with the whole family. Like, that's fine. Wedding dress shopping?
Yeah, no. And then that kind of brings us to, so Ari says, you know, how she doesn't feel well. And Leandro kind of just butts in and is like, oh, when's the last time you had your period? Like, yes, as the ex-husband, that's a question you're going to ask her.
Like, does he still follow her cycle? Like, it's just,
does he have it written down? Like, yeah. Oh, I know it's, you know, the 13th is when it starts.
It's
like,
just so strange. So, yeah, before that, you know, Benny says that he doesn't like them hanging out because he doesn't trust Leandro.
Yeah.
And then Leandro, after he asks if she's had her period, asks Benny if they've been trying for another baby.
Yeah, and Benny kind of, like, jumps in and says, like, it's not really his business, which is the truth.
Yeah, he's like, that's a personal question. Like,
do you live here?
Yeah.
Is this your relationship? Like, it has nothing to do with you.
So, Ari's like, oh, I don't know. And Benny's like, oh. And Benny, like, offers to go get her a soda or a snack or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you can't drive. And Leandro's like, well, I can drive.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let's go get Ari a pregnancy test.
Together.
And then they're in the car and he's like, oh, this is weird. And it's like, yeah, it is weird. So why did you suggest it?
Right? Or just be like, oh, like, I'll bring Benny to the store. Like, they didn't need to walk into the store together. And, like, it's just weird. The whole thing is, like, fucking Uber Eats it. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. But him and Leandro are in the car together. And, you know, Leandro asks, like, oh, well, like, how many kids do you want? And this and that. And Benny says that he wants 10 kids.
And Leandro's like, I don't think Ari wants that many. And Benny... Benny just responds with, I think you don't know her. And it's like, yeah, their relationship isn't the same as it was when they were married and now she was with Benny. So, like, how do you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Leandro's like, well, we'll ask Ari then, like, how many kids she wants. Because, like, he's...
That matters so much.
Yeah, to his life.
He's got to be right.
So they go into Steve's together and get her a pregnancy test, which was just so weird. And they get back, and does she take the test first?
Yeah, so she takes the test, and she's relieved that she's not pregnant.
Yeah, and Benny's, like, kind of disappointed.
Yeah, he seems a little disappointed, but, like, at the same time, he kind of understands that. If Ari's relieved, then he should be relieved because of, you know, the financial implications.
Yeah, they kind of, like, don't have the money.
Yeah.
Like, they're not paying their own rent, like, all this stuff. So then, obviously, Leandro has to ask Ari, like, how many kids does she want to have? Like, how many more?
She's like, well, maybe one more.
And then They're like, see, like, Leandra's like, see, I told you, like, blah, blah, blah. And then Ari, in quotation marks, jokes that her ex-husband knows her more than her current fiance.
She wants to be with her ex-husband. Like, just say it. Just go be with him and, like, call it a day.
Like, she, I don't get it.
I feel
it.
Bad for my guy, Benny, right now.
Yeah, at this point, like, it's just... It's weird. So
Leandra leaves, thank God.
Yeah, and Ari, you know, really starts thinking, like, it sounds like her and Benny just want, like, two different futures. But yeah, Leandra goes back to
he's going to
Indiana.
New York. Yeah, he goes to New York and then back to Indiana.
But he does comment in an interview that he's happy that Ari's not pregnant because they are not financially stable, because he can comment on someone else's relationship,
obviously.
So then the next scene, they are going to a breakfast place.
Yeah, they're heading to PJ's Pancake House, and God forbid they order pancakes.
So, you know, it's so funny.
Oh my God.
So you said this last night, right? And I was on Twitter, like, reading, because if you guys don't know, if you follow, like, 90 Day on Twitter, they, like, retweet people's opinions and all this stuff. So many people were like, you go to a pancake house and you get wraps and, like, all this stuff. I was like, I didn't know this was such a controversy.
You're going to a place that's called PJ's Pancake House. I don't care if it's 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night. It's PJ's Pancake House. You better order pancakes.
I do. To me, I don't...
Or at least order, like, breakfast food. It's that pancake
it's
house.
It's like a diner. You can get anything you want at a diner.
It's like going to IHOP and not getting pancakes. It's got the word pancake in it.
Have you never had, like, omelets at IHOP? Because they're bomb.
Yeah, with a pancake. If I'm going to a pancake house, I'm getting a pancake.
I just, yeah, I thought it was so funny.
Probably pancakes, plural.
Plural? And we know, I know how you feel
I love
about
pancakes. Chocolate chip pancakes, the best.
How about chocolate chip waffles?
Those are great, too.
We have chocolate chip waffles every Saturday. So anyway, there is a big controversy about it, and
yeah,
I wanted to let you know you weren't alone.
So hopefully they go there again, and they get pancakes.
Oh my God. So Ari says when they sit down... that Benny should be friends with Leandro.
Nah, and Benny's like, says how he doesn't like Leandro and isn't interested in being friends with him, and it's a weird scenario, and it's definitely weird. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't want to be friends with him either.
Yeah, why would you want to be friends with your almost wife, or your fiance's ex-husband?
Yeah, and this like, made at least me and probably most people kind of look at it, and she got upset with him about training with a female. Can you imagine if Benny was friends with his ex-wife and was bringing her, like, around the family and stuff, or even the girl that he was dancing with last season, who was his
ex-girlfriend? Yeah,
and Ari was getting all PO'd about this, but it's like, oh yeah, your ex-husband is like family to everyone, so he gets to come around.
Yeah, it's
you can't say one thing and then do the complete opposite.
It's just totally like double standard when it comes to Ari.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what, you can be friends with your ex-husband, but like Benny's not allowed to be friends or even train with a female?
No, not at all.
What if he, like, had an office job and his desk was next to a female? Like, is that off limits now? He's not allowed to talk to her? Like, where are we drawing this line in the sand?
And her whole thing is, like, oh, like, she even said, like, oh, he's upset, so he's, like, standoffish. And it's, like, yeah, because he doesn't want to fight with you, because anything he brings up that makes him feel uncomfortable, you have a problem with.
Yeah.
So it's, like, or you're, you know... you're not right, so...
So obviously he's not going to want to talk about it.
Yeah, so... I don't know. So then they start talking about kids again.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, they really do want different things. And Ari says how it's going to be hard to stay together because they want such different things. And they both wish that they had more time together before they had to get married. Before they have to get married.
Yeah, but at the same time, they've been...
3 years you've been together.
3 years and you've been together.
And you have a child.
Besides, like, the time that she came to the States, like, they've been together. She was in Ethiopia, or I guess she came back when she was pregnant, but, like, she got pregnant in Ethiopia. She moved back to Ethiopia. They lived in Ethiopia. Then she came back to the United States when Avi had his medical stuff and then went back to Ethiopia. Like, they've been together for 2 years, more than most of these couples have been, especially right. during COVID. And yet they're still contemplating if they should get married in 90 days.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that makes no sense.
It's like, either at this point, it's like, you know if you should be together or not. So, like, just make the decision. And if it's you're going to be together, work through it. And if you're not going to be together, then figure out a situation where Benny is allowed to see Avi so that what happened to him the first time doesn't happen to him again.
It's just their communication is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely terrible. And neither of them try to work on it at all. No.
It's just Ari always thinking she's not wrong, and then Benny just doesn't want to talk because he knows that Ari's just going to say he's wrong.
Yeah, and it's like, she has jealousy issues to work through.
Oh, yeah.
He has things he needs to work through, like speaking up or you know, actually communicating with her. But that's what it comes down to with them two. And instead of doing that, she wants him to be friends with her ex-husband. Because yeah, no, that's thanks. The priority.
I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah.
If I'm Benny.
So, I don't know. Obviously, they're going to get married and we're going to be stuck with them forever. But
at least that means we get to see Benny more.
True. I love me some Benny. But I don't know. They are so annoying. It's the same drama.
Yeah.
Every season.
Yeah, it's just recycled.
That's what it is. And I mean, that's what 90 Day is just recycled drama. But with that, like, get a new couple at this point. Like, I'm sick of it. I do love Benny. I would love to see Benny, but I'm over it. Like, I'm just over it.
So that pretty much wraps it up for them. So we'll head to our last couple of this episode, Patrick and Thais.
I will say that I took a copious amount of notes on this, and like I said in the beginning of this podcast, John, the real MVP.
Yeah, I thought like the first couple episodes maybe, I thought like John was kind of an ass.
Oh, he definitely was an ass.
But now, like, from being from that area of the country especially, I'm like, John is just every typical Bostonian dude, and he just, like, keeps it real, and he's just calling Thais out on her bullshit.
Which, she fucking should be called out on her bullshit, and at the same time, he's standing up for his brother. Like, he obviously loves his brother, they're best friends, they live together, all this stuff, but John just has these zingers and one-liners in his freaking accent. And
it's incredible.
I mean, like you said, when this season started, I was like, he's going to bring the drama. He's going to be annoying. He's going to be the brother that never leaves him alone. But, like, I'm really happy that Patrick has him because he's the only one who is speaking the truth to him.
Yeah.
But let's just get into it.
Yeah. So they head. So John and Patrick head out to the bar and meet their boy Wagner. And Wagner jokes that he's happy Thais has let Patrick out of the house. And Patrick, you know, starts telling John and Wagner about Thais trying to get married in Vegas and that she hasn't told her dad about them getting married.
And they are shocked.
They, like, do not understand, like, the situation, like, whatsoever.
And so John is like, I don't understand why she wouldn't tell him, like, and Patrick's is like, oh, she doesn't want to disappoint him.
Are you the disappointment?
John made this episode. I can't emphasize that enough. So you know, they asked Patrick, like, well, does Thais's dad like you? And he's like, Thais's dad definitely likes me. I sent him a Father's Day gift, and, you know, he's never had a problem when I was in Brazil or anything like that. And he, you know, re-emphasizes that he won't marry Thais without her dad knowing.
Which I totally agree with. I think if you don't tell him, it's going to end badly no matter what.
Yeah.
So you got to tell him, like, up front and, like, hey, this is why I came here. Like, I really love this guy. Like, I want to, you know, have a family here and, like, all this stuff. But it seems like they, you know, Patrick, John, and Wagner, they all agree that this is a huge red flag that Thais hasn't told her dad. And now John is questioning if Thais actually loves Patrick.
Yeah, so, you know, Wagner thinks that Patrick's just going to do whatever Thais wants and not care about the dad. But Patrick says, you know, oh, you guys, like, there's red flags, but I'm going to wave that red flag high until it turns white. And I'm going to be like, bro, that's not how it works. Like, there are red flags. And, you know, I think John has every right to question Thais's love for Patrick if she won't even tell her dad about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what I was saying last week of, like, now, like, initially, I thought it was going to be, like, a really good relationship. They seemed, you know, everything was working out. But now it's like, does she have any ulterior motive? Like, what else is going on here? Like, you don't want to tell your dad. Now you're upset that Patrick is, like, talking to his brother and best friend about what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, he's just looking to see, like, if this is normal. Like, what's the advice they give? This is his opinion. Like, do they agree with him? Like,
I mean, Patrick does bring up in the later on seasons that, or sorry, in the later on scenes, like, oh, you talk to your friends about us. Like, don't you talk to your amigas? Like, all this stuff. And she doesn't say anything. So,
yeah.
I don't know if it's just because she's, like, threatened by Patrick and John's relationship and how close they are, or, like, that John lives with them, so she doesn't want him to know stuff. But, like, I don't know. You turn to your friends for advice when it comes to your relationships. I don't condone talking shit about your significant other, which a lot of people do on this freaking reality TV show. But, I do think, you know, turning to your friends for advice is pretty normal.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that kind of, like, ends the first part. And then we get to Thais, and she says how she didn't have a good time in Vegas, and she's upset that Patrick didn't marry her while they were there. But now she's spinning it around and cooking Patrick a special dinner.
A stroganoff with chicken, ketchup, and mustard.
And this is where my guy John comes in. So John offers to help cook.
He does. I thought that was very kind of him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he came in with different intentions, but he was trying to be nice up front. So he offers to help cook. He asks how everything's going, asks how her dad is doing, and then drops the question, why doesn't your dad know that you guys plan on getting married?
And then John says, you know, it's disrespectful not to tell her dad.
I agree.
And Thais doesn't really say anything. She then tells him that she can't talk and cook at the same time. And his response is, oh, you can't multitask?
Hey, you gotta multitask. I'm showing you how to multitask. That's what we do here in America. You gotta multitask.
And then she's like, what? And he's like, multitask. See, I'm teaching you English words.
So from there, then they talk about, like, how she hasn't told her dad, and he says, you can't get married and then tell your father. You can't get married and then tell your father. And it's true. Like, think about how that would end up. And that's kind of what John and Patrick have said. Like, John doesn't even have a clue as to why she wouldn't tell her. Like, and then Thais is finding it, like, disrespectful that Patrick was talking to John about this and, like, questioning it. But I feel like it's it's fair game. It's
pretty normal. Like, it's pretty normal to question and ask about it. Like, I mean, should John be the one talking about it? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is sticking up for his brother. But then John starts critiquing everything she's doing in the kitchen.
It's like, the chicken's overcooked here. You gotta turn this burner off.
He, like, goes and, like, puts it on a different burner, and she gets pissed. And then he's like, ketchup and mustard together.
It's like, yeah, it's good on a burger or hot dog. I don't know about on chicken.
Oh, my God. So then she's like, here, try it. And she gives him some chicken. And
he spits it out.
And he's like, oh, the chicken's overcooked.
It's like eating rabo with ketchup and mustard mixed together. Like, oh, God.
This man made the episode. I think every time I laughed, this episode was because of him. And so, you know, and then John says, to your point earlier, that he thinks that Thais's dad will hate Patrick if they get married without telling him. And yeah. I completely agree with that. Like,
yeah, he would blame Patrick for everything.
Exactly. I mean, he already thinks that Patrick has, like, an alternative alternative.
It's a tough word.
Thank you. Motive. I stumbled on it earlier. When it comes to, like, Brazil or American men and Brazilian women and stuff like that. So just wait till he finds out they get married. Yeah. Like,
and Patrick even says, like, this is a non-negotiation for you to tell your dad.
Exactly. So Patrick comes home. He sees Thais and John, you know, hanging out. And they all go to sit down and eat this wonderful ketchup and mustard and overcooked chicken.
Yeah, and Patrick's like, oh, yeah, this is good. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
So then Thais, does she get mad about something? Like, why does she storm off?
Yeah, she got upset that John had, like, asked her this stuff, and Patrick was like, yeah, it's okay, like, that's my brother, like, I'm gonna talk to him.
So
she gets all, like, PO'd and then goes and walks into the bedroom downstairs.
Yeah, so you know, John asks Patrick, how is he gonna convince Thais to tell her dad, because John is worried about it. And you know, Thais is peeking around the corner, which is, like, obviously they knew she was standing there.
You can feel when someone's just staring at you.
And she was eavesdropping on them.
Yeah, and thinks that John is talking trash about her, but he really doesn't talk trash about her. I think more than anything, he's just, like, kind of asking questions and, like, trying to pry information. I don't think he's saying, like, she's a bad person.
Not at all. Like, I think if anything, he just wants to give advice to his brother and, like,
yeah, wants, you know, what's best for him.
Exactly. So obviously John, being the man that he is, says, like, oh, like, it's coming up, like, gotta have a bachelor party.
Yeah, bachelor party, here we go. gotta plan it. And what's crazy from that is Thais comes out.
Yeah.
And
after he said that he was gonna get hookers, which, okay, he did say he was gonna get hookers, which was hilarious, but then Patrick was like, there's no girl that's going to be as attractive as Thais,
right?
Like, I have Thais, blah blah blah. And
but yeah, but
I will say, hold on, I will say John's analogy is hilarious. He's like, when I go to the store, sometimes I want Rocky Road, sometimes I want mint chocolate. God almighty, this man.
Mint chocolate, best ice cream. mint chocolate chip. But yeah, so then Thais comes out from the bedroom or peering around the corner and says how if Patrick has a bachelor party, then she'll go back to Brazil. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, what a joke.
That's such an American thing to have a bachelor party. Yeah. Like, who cares? And Thais also tells John that he needs to take care of his own life.
Yeah.
Like, stop caring about hers and take care of his own life. But, yeah, the whole bachelor party thing, like, obviously John's going to throw a bachelor party. Like, let's be real now.
And then Thais is saying, like, oh, no strippers, no strippers. And John's like, strippers? They're exotic dances.
Strippers?
Exotic dances.
Exotic dances. Which, by the way, I did scream about the house for the last, like, 15 minutes before we went to bed last night. And so, you know, John thinks Patrick is whipped and that Patrick's going to do anything that Thais wants, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
I do, like, to a degree.
I think he is.
I think this is, like, the one thing that, like, he's not going to budge on.
The telling her dad thing? I agree with that.
Because then they even continue to talk about it.
I do agree with that. I think it comes down to, he kind of calls it, like, the bro code. Like, yeah. You know, I do think it's fucked up if she doesn't tell her dad.
100%.
But John is just the gift that keeps on giving. I love that man. I thought he was going to be so terrible, and he is making their, like, plot even better.
Yeah, it's making it so much more interesting, I think.
Exactly. Strip is. Sorry.
But yeah, he's just every, like, generic Boston guy.
Yeah, he really is, though. He's every Boston guy that I've ever come across.
Like, all the guys I would work with or went to college with, like, this is who they are.
But he's a realist. He realizes, yeah, like, that Thais needs to treat Patrick better, and he wants to stand up for his brother.
Definitely.
Strip is.
Definitely. But yeah, that kind of wraps them up in this episode, and then as we look towards next week, we get Emily and Kobe back.
Hell yeah. So
seems like Emily is pregnant, even though that's the one thing her parents told her not to do.
Literally, like, the first episode, I think, like, her dad was like, just don't get pregnant. But yeah, her period is late. It seems like Miona and Jabri's mom talked, and Miona says it's a good conversation, and Brian, it says, like, he wasn't convinced, and it seemed like they weren't on the same page with the conversation.
Yeah, Mahala wanted to talk to Jabri and Miona together because she feels like Jabri is being pressured into this marriage again.
Oh, my God.
So we're just going in a circle with them.
Of course we are. John is concerned for Patrick, which, like, I would be too. It does seem like we were saying that John's going to throw the bachelor party regardless.
Yeah, as he should.
Bilal gives Shida a physical prenup.
That looked like a pretty hefty prenup.
Like, it seemed like he was, like, serving her.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they're just weird.
That was, like, one of my final college papers, like a 20-page, like a 20-page essay right there. Subsection 4. Like.
Oh, my God. And then, two other things on the next time on. Mohammed, I wrote Mo because it's just easier. Mohammed and Eve start to fight again.
Shocker.
What? And he says he'll pack his bags and go back to Egypt.
Can he just go back at this
and
point?
And she
please?
Finally says, yes, go. Then go. Thank the fucking Lord. Because that woman, it's been too long, like, to.
Yeah.
And then lastly, our favorites. Guillermo confronts Kara on the way that she treats him.
Yeah, with three days
before the wedding.
So it should be very interesting. But yeah, this is when things really, really get good. And it's been this season started out a little slow, but the last, I would say, like, 3-4 episodes have really, you know, kind of turned up the heat.
Yeah, and I would say we probably have about, like, 4 episodes left, if I would have to guess. And then 2-part tell all, obviously.
Yeah, so like 16
yeah,
plus 2, 15 plus 2, somewhere around there. But yeah, we're getting to the last, you know, 30 days.
Yeah.
Some even less.
Yeah, so I wrote down this week how many days left everyone has. After pointing out Mohammed. So Eve and Mohammed have 65 days left. Patrick and Thais have 39. Jabri and Miona have 38. Binny and Ari have 36. Kara and Guillermo have 21. So
damn,
literally 3 weeks. I mean, nothing's happened with them.
Yeah,
so
that's,
like,
true.
And then Bilal and Shida have 50 days, which really surprised me. I think just because there's so much drama that happens with them, like, every single day.
Yeah, especially in the early part of it.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I think we're going to start seeing some more weddings, more planning.
Definitely.
All that stuff. I guess the real question is, like, who do you think everyone's going to get married?
No, even Muhammad, hard pass.
I think he's back in Egypt.
Outside of that, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Guillermo and Kara's wedding.
Yeah.
I
think everybody else will figure it out one way or the other.
Yeah, I think so too. Hopefully Thais tells her dad and we see some strippers. But definitely. Besides that, yeah, I if I would have to guess, I would say probably, yeah, beginning of August or mid-August is when the season's going to be wrapped up.
Definitely. But yeah, we want to thank everyone once again for listening to another episode, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week.
And we hope everyone has a great Post Malone's birthday on the 4th. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.